This is a download from the Post Keynesian Economics Study Group, PKSG. For more information and terms of use, please visit www.postkeynesian.net.
This talk was given by Dr. Yanis Dafermos of the University of the West of England on an ecological stock flow fund modelling framework.
Thank you very much. This is a paper that has as a name to develop a new modeling framework that combines ecological and post-Keynesian economics. Let me note that this is part of a project that is conducted by the New Economics Foundation and it is funded by the Network for Social Change. Now, let me start with the motivation of the paper. One important limitation of post-Keynesian economic macroeconomic analysis is that they do not take explicitly into account the effects that macroeconomic activity has on the ecosystem and the feedback effects that the ecosystem has on the macroeconomy. So, for example, in traditional post-Keynesian models, we do not have the impact that more economic activity has on greenhouse gas emissions, and we do not have the negative feedback effects on the economy. At the same time, we have ecological economics in which there is no solid macroeconomic analysis as the analysis we have in post-Keynesian economics. So in ecological economics, we don't have this explicit non-neutral role of finance. We don't have this significant effect of income distribution on economic growth. Therefore, we think that this synthesis of ecological economics with post-Keynesian economics is a way to be able to analyze phenomena like that refer to the macroeconomy, the financial system, and the ecosystem in a joint way. And over the last years, we have this new field, ecological macroeconomics, where there is an attempt actually to use elements of post-Keynesian economics and ecological economics, and we tend to contribute to this literature. So over the last years, there are various papers that have tried to construct some building blocks of ecological macroeconomics. We have some large-scale models that have incorporated Keynesian features in models that have various environmental aspects. We have papers that have tried to create frameworks that combine post-Keynesian and ecological insights. And recently we have some papers that use the stock flow consistent literature and combine this literature with the ecological issues, and they also include a financial sector, which is important from our point of view. However, we think that still we do not have an integrated framework that will allow us to analyze the physical stocks and flows and the monetary stocks and flows in the in a consistent way. And actually, this is what we want to do with this paper. We want to provide a consistent framework which will allow us to analyze at the same time ecological issues like the depletion of natural resources, the degradation of natural services, and so on. Financial issues that are related to financial fragility, for example, or to the financing of green investment. And, of course, macroeconomic issues related, for example, to unemployment, labor productivity, growth, and so on. We have decided to call that framework Ecological Stock Flow Fund Framework because it combines monetary and physical stocks and flows. And we also have this role of funds. I will explain later why this is important. So I will start with the main features of our framework. Then I will concentrate on the matrices that constitute the skeleton of our modeling framework. I will briefly describe some examples of stock flow fund interactions that can be analyzed within this framework, and then I will have some conclusions. Let me note that I will focus on the ideas and the channels that we analyze in the paper. I will not present so many questions, but if you are interested in the technical details of the model, you can read the paper that is on the website. So let me start with the first feature. What we're trying to do is to combine the accounting principles with the laws of thermodynamics, and we think that this is the first paper that tries to do that explicitly. And in order to do that, we start from the accounting principles, and we use this post-Keynesian stock log of system literature, where we have these well-known transactions flow matrices and balance sheet matrices. These matrices allow us to incorporate explicitly the accounting principles where, for example, we have that monetary inflows are equal to monetary outflows and that financial liabilities are equal to financial assets. And by doing that, we have this clear connection between the financial and the real side of the macroeconomy. And at the same time, in the same model, we are trying to incorporate the first and the second law of thermodynamics. In order to do that, we draw on the tradition of Georges Kouroegen, who was the founding father of what we call today ecological economics. And we have this literature that uses the idea of input-output tables that goes back to Leontief and applies that in the case of physical inputs and outputs. So we use this literature and we construct a flow of physical matrix and the physical stock matrix. Let me point out that according to the first law of thermodynamics, we have that matter and energy cannot be destroyed or created. And according to the second law of thermodynamics, we have that the implication of the second law of thermodynamics is that as macroeconomic activity increases, this implies that there is an increase in the entropy of the ecosystem, and the entropy in ecological economics refers to the unavailable energy, and I will explain later that this is important for sustainability analysis. A last point about that is that we use physical units in order to measure physical stocks and flows. So, for example, we have the energy from oil, we have the greenhouse gas emissions, and we use mass or energetic units. Why is that important? It is important because in the mainstream environmental analysis, the idea is to use some prices for those, for all those things. And we, of course, we want to avoid that, and we can avoid that based on this literature that uses this physical unit. So we don't have this idea that if you put a price and then you have the determinable maximization, you can solve the environmental problems. Our perspective is very much different. Let me turn to the second feature, which refers to this distinction that Georges Kouroegen made between the stock law resources and the fund service resources. In traditional production functions that we have in economics, we use capital and labor as the factors of production. And capital and labor refer to the fund service resources. They provide some services during the production process. However, what we do not take into account is that in order to have production, we need also energy and matter. Without energy and matter, it's not possible to use the services of capital and labor. So when we produce a specific good, we cannot produce that without mineral, without energy, and so on. And this distinction is important because we cannot substitute the one type of resources by another type, by the other type of resources. We cannot use more labor instead of material. So we incorporate that explicitly in our framework. And a last general feature that is important is that we are able to analyze various stock flow fund channels that are related to the stability of the ecosystem, the macroeconomy, and the financial system. And we do that by formulating the macroeconomy as part of the ecosystem. And you can see that clearly here. This is a diagram that is used a lot by ecological economists. Here we have included the financial system, which is not in the ecological economics literature. The idea is that the macroeconomy always uses matter and energy, useful matter and energy. We have the production process here, and then we have waste, useful output, that is an outflow to the ecosystem. Of course, we have this recycling procedure which allow us to use matter that has been used in previous production processes. And the important fact is that we have this within the ecosystem. So, again, we take that explicitly into account in our framework. Now, let me turn to our matrices. And this is very important because it provides, as I said before, the skeleton of our framework. We have this physical input-output fog matrix, which refers to the physical flows, the new energy or the new matter, for example, that we have to use every year. Then we have the physical stock matrix that refers, to some significant physical stocks in the ecosystem. And then we use the traditional transactions flow matrix and balances matrix that we have in stock flow ecosystem models. Now, in order to present that, we used a simplified structure of the economic processes because the idea in the paper is to present this framework by using a simple ecosystem and macroeconomy. We have made this distinction between conventional and green investment. I will talk a little bit later about that. But the important issue is that we have that green investment can be financed by profits, loans, and equities, and this implies that the financial system can be important in order to support ecological sustainability. We have that firms produce goods by using useful matter and useful energy. We have incorporated both new renewable and non-renewable energy, and we also have the recycling procedure. Now, another significant feature of the model is that we have this post-Keynesian feature that the output that is produced is demand-determined. However, we have explicitly incorporated constraints that may stem from the ecosystem. We have used a Leontief-type production function, where we have that production is a function not only of labor and capital, but also of useful energy and useful matter. And the idea is that if for some reason the useful energy is not enough or the useful matter is not enough, then we cannot have the output that is demanded by the economy. And we also have some implications of the ecosystem for the labor productivity and the amount of capital. This implies that in our model, the idea that the production of goods is demand determined is just a special case of a more general case where the ecosystem plays a significant role. So, but we have that this can't be the result in an endogenous way. Now, here I have the four processes that we use in the physical input-output matrix. First, we have the production of controlled matter. This means the process that refers to the use of useful matter that is in the ground. This can be silver, gold, or iron, and so on. And the extraction refers to this process. This is necessary in order to have the production of goods. At the same time, we have the production of controlled energy. This is, for example, when we extract oil and we use that, we transform that in a form that can be used again in the production of goods. As I said before, we have both renewable and non-renewable resources. And lastly, we have the recycling procedure. Now, this is how the matrix looks like. I will not go into the details of that. Let me very briefly say that here in these columns we have the four processes that I described before. And for example, if we have the goods, if we use the goods, the process that produces the goods, here we have the inputs of this process. So controlled matter and controlled energy are necessary in order to produce the goods that are demanded by firms and households. And the important feature of this matrix is that we explicitly incorporate the first law of thermodynamics. So inputs are equal to outputs in physical units. And at the same time, we have here the emissions to nature that refer to dissipated energy and dissipated matter. And because this matter and energy have high entropy, we explicitly incorporate this idea of the second law of thermodynamics, which implies that the more we produce, the higher the entropy in the ecosystem, set its variables. Now, the idea of the physical input-output matrix goes back to the Leontief input-output tables. So we have various technical coefficients that refer to the relationships between inputs and outputs. However, it's important to emphasize that these coefficients are not static. So we have that whenever there is green investment, we can have a change in these coefficients, which implies that the efficiency, these types of efficiency can change. And this is important because we can change the resource efficiency. This refers to the relationship between inputs and outputs. So when we have more green investment, we can have lower inputs per unit of output, which implies less greenhouse gas emissions or less energy and matter. At the same time, we have the recycling efficiency and the pollution efficiency. Then we have the physical stock matrix. I will just present you an example of that. Here we have the useful matter, and we have the opening stock each period. So we have a stock of matter in the Earth. We have the discoveries of new stock that adds to this useful matter. And every year we have this extraction that reduces this stock. So here we have this identity that shows the changes in the stocks. And we have the same for non-renewable energy. We have here the harmful matter, which can be, for instance, the mineral waste. And we have also the same for the material goods that include, for instance, capital stock. Now, this is a traditional transaction flow matrix. This is what we have in the stock flow ecosystem model. So we have always that inputs are equal to outputs. That's why we have here zero. And here we have this well-known budget constraint. So here we have the accounting principles that are taken into account. Importantly, we have here the green loans that are necessary to some extent in order to have green investment. And in our model, we have a credit rationing procedure which implies that if banks are less willing to provide these loans, this affects green investment, this affects technical coefficients, and this affects the efficiency and therefore how we affect the ecosystem when we have macroeconomic activity. And this is a balanced matrix. This shows the assets and the liabilities of the various sectors of the economy. I would like to focus on this slide where we have all these matrices together. So here we have the physical input-output fund matrix, the physical stock matrix, and here we have the matrices that refer to the monetary stocks and flows. And we have a lot of links between these matrices. I will mention three or four of them. So whenever we have here an increase in the consumption and investment that is demanded in the economy, we have that this implies a higher use of useful energy and matter from the ecosystem, let's say more oil or more minerals. The link between these two matrices is very explicit. So, for example, we have an increase in the harmful matter, let's say mineral waste. This can increase the stock of harmful matter in the stock in the physical stock matrix. The physical stock matrix can be important for this matrix because it can impose some supply-side constraints, because if the stock of energy and matter is not enough in order to produce what is demanded by households and firms, then this can have a reduction in the economic activity. And as I said before, there is also a link between this matrix and this matrix because we have that green loans can improve technical coefficients. And of course, within the monetary system, we have that the higher the flow of loans, the higher the stock of loans, probably. So we can also analyze financial fragility issues. In traditional post-Keynesian stock flow ecosystem models, we have various stock flow norms that refer basically to monetary stocks and flows. And for instance, we have the debt-to-income ratio. And we use this monetary stock flow ratios in order to analyze the stability or the fragility of the system. We have tried to do something similar for the ecosystem. So we have identified three ratios that we consider important for the ecological sustainability. The one is the energy depletion ratio. This refers to the inflow of new energy that we use to the stock of the available energy that we have. The higher this ratio, the higher the energy that we use every year relative to the stock, the worse the situation is in terms of the depletion of energy. A similar index ratio has been used for matter. And here we have this, we call that the degradation ratio. You can think here about the greenhouse gas emissions. The higher the greenhouse gas emissions the stock of greenhouse gas emissions relative to the to a threshold that is considered important, beyond which we can have significant environmental events, and ecological economists have provided some an idea about this this amount of matter. The higher this ratio, the more negative the effects on the ecosystem services, and the more the higher the effects on the environment. So, based on these ratios, we can analyze various sustainability issues. Now, very quickly, these are the main challenges that can be analyzed with this framework. So we have that there is a depletion channel, which means that the more we produce, the less the energy and matter that is available in the ecosystem. We have the degradation channel, which refers, for example, to the greenhouse gas emissions that are produced in due to economic activity. The feedback effect of the ecosystem is that we have this damage channel, which means that the ecosystem can affect the labor productivity or the capital stock, and at the same time we can have some constraints due to the fact that the energy and matter are not available due to the depletion that I mentioned before. Now, at the same time, we have this financial system and macroeconomy interaction. It's important that we have incorporated this effect of the financial system on the financing of investment, and the growth channel and the financial stability channel are generally well known in the post-Keynesian literature. So what I would like to emphasize is that within this framework, we have all these channels that are not in post-Keynesian economics. We also have this channel that is not very common in post-Keynesian economics. And we have this traditional analysis that we know very well in post-Keynesian economics. At the same time, in the ecological economics, we have some of these things, but we do not have this relationship between the financial system and the macroeconomy. So, to conclude, the main idea of this paper was to try to combine these two different perspectives. It was very important, we think, that we have, it's very important that we have these accounting principles combined with the laws of thermodynamics. And this framework is quite flexible, and it can be used for various types of both academic and policy analysis, which are related to this new field of ecological macroeconomics. Thank you.